The Book of Daniel, number 110. The Threefold Alliance of Rome, unveiling the prophetic significance of the trumpets in Revelation. Key takeaways. The trumpets of Revelation have long been interpreted as symbols of divine judgment upon Rome, with theologians like William Miller and Uriah Smith identifying them as peculiar judgments brought upon the Roman Empire and the Catholic Church. However, a deeper understanding reveals these judgments as consequences of Rome's enforcement of sun worship, tracing back to Constantine's initiation of Sunday laws. This article delves into the historical and prophetic significance of the first and second woes, represented by the fifth and sixth trumpets, respectively, elucidating their role in the downfall of both civil and religious Rome. Furthermore, it explores the triple application of prophecy, drawing parallels between ancient and modern Israel's disobedience and its impact on the sealing work of the third angel. Finally, it examines the contemporary relevance of these prophecies, particularly in light of September 11, 2001, and their implications for the sealing of God's people amidst impending judgment. Historical context of the trumpets. The trumpets in Revelation symbolize God's judgments upon Rome, particularly concerning its enforcement of sun worship as initiated by Constantine's Sunday laws. These judgments, manifested through the Saracens and Turks, the first and second woes, marked the decline of the Roman Empire and the Catholic Church's authority. Prophetic fulfillment and symbolism. The first two woes, culminating in the conquest of Constantinople in 1453 and the papal reign's downfall in 1798, signify the consequences of Rome's apostasy. The triple application of prophecy establishes a pattern for understanding the final fulfillment of these prophecies, highlighting the significance of the third woe. Sealing work of the third angel, the sealing of God's people, represented by the 144,000, began with the arrival of the third angel on October 22, 1844. However, disobedience and rebellion delayed this sealing work, with September 11, 2001 marking its recommencement amidst the events of the third woe. Contemporary relevance and warning signs. Recent historical events, such as the truck bombing of the World Trade Center in 1993 and the attack of September 11, 2001, serve as warning signs and precursors to the impending fulfillment of prophecy. The sealing time, initiated by the third woe, underscores the urgency for spiritual preparation and fidelity to God's commandments. Implications for future judgment. The unfolding events in Revelation, particularly those associated with the seventh trumpet and the voice of the mighty angel in Revelation chapter 18, indicate the imminent judgment upon the nations. Understanding the prophetic symbolism and heeding the warning signs are essential for navigating the tumultuous times ahead and securing one's place among the sealed servants of God. Islam of the first and second woes of Revelation chapter 9 represented a judgment that was brought upon Rome. William Miller had called the trumpets the peculiar judgments which were brought upon Rome, but Miller could not see modern Rome as the threefold alliance which leads the world to Armageddon. Uriah Smith recognized the trumpets represented God's judgment upon Rome, and that the fifth and sixth trumpets, first and second woes, were judgments upon the Catholic Church. For an exposition of this trumpet, we shall again draw from the writings of Mr. Keith. This writer truthfully says, "There is scarcely so uniform an agreement among interpreters concerning any other part of the apocalypse as respecting the application of the fifth and sixth trumpets, or the first and second woes, to the Saracens and Turks. It is so obvious that it can scarcely be misunderstood. Instead of a verse or two designating each, the whole of the ninth chapter of the Revelation in equal portions is occupied with a description of both. The Roman Empire declined as it arose by conquest, but the Saracens and the Turks were the instruments by which a false religion became the scourge of an apostate church. And hence, instead of the fifth and sixth trumpets, like the former, being designated by that name alone, they are called woes." Uriah Smith, Daniel and Revelation, 495. What Miller and Smith did not recognize about the trumpets as God's judgment upon Rome was that those judgments were brought about by the enforcement of the worship of the sun. In the year 321, Constantine passed the first Sunday law and 9 years later he moved the capital from the city of Rome to the city of Constantinople, thus initiating the process of disintegration of the Roman Empire. In Daniel chapter 11, pagan Rome was to rule supremely for a time, which represented the 360 years from the Battle of Actium in the year 31 BC unto the year 330, when Constantine divided the kingdom into the west and the east. He shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches. Yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds, even for a time. Daniel 11:24. During those 360 years, the Roman Empire was essentially invincible, but once the capital was moved to the east, the ability to govern such a massive empire was no longer possible. Constantine tried to maintain control by dividing the kingdom between his three sons, but that only furthered the crumbling of the former empire. When the papacy took the throne of the earth in the year 538, at the Third Council of Orleans, a Sunday law was passed. Thus, in the year 606, Muhammad began his prophetic ministry and symbolically represented the trumpet that was to be what the historians identify as a scourge of an apostate church. The history of the first and second woes, beginning with the ministry of Muhammad in the year 606, concluded on October 22, 1844, when the seventh trumpet sounded. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign for ever and ever. Revelation 11:14-15. During the history of the first two woes, Constantinople, the capital of Eastern Rome, was conquered in 1453, and Papal Rome in the West was delivered its deadly wound in 1798. The scourge of an apostate church had brought down both civil and religious Rome. The threefold union of modern Rome is accomplished at the soon coming Sunday law in the United States. The Protestants of the United States will be foremost in stretching their hands across the Gulf to grasp the hand of spiritualism. They will reach over the abyss to clasp hands with the Roman power, and under the influence of this threefold union, this country will follow in the steps of Rome in trampling on the rights of conscience. The Great Controversy, 588. At that time, Islam of the Third Woe will accomplish God's judgment against modern Rome for its enforcement of Sunday worship, as he did with pagan Rome and papal Rome. With pagan Rome, he employed the first four trumpets to bring an end to Roman rulership in the capital of Western Rome by the year 476, for after the year 476, no ruler of the city was of Roman lineage. By 1453, the fifth trumpet of Islam brought Roman rulership of Eastern Rome to an end. By 1798, papal rulership of the former tenfold division of the nations of Europe was brought to an end in the history of the sixth trumpet of Islam. The demise of the civil kingdom of Rome, both west and east, and the religious kingdom of Rome was brought about following the enforcement of the pagan worship of the sun. The people of the United States have been a favored people, but when they restrict religious liberty, surrender Protestantism, and give countenance to popery, the measure of their guilt will be full, and national apostasy will be registered in the books of heaven. The result of this apostasy will be national ruin. Review and Herald, May 2, 1893. The triple application of prophecy establishes the characteristic of the final fulfillment of the prophecy based upon the characteristics of the first two fulfillments. On September 11, 2001, the third woe arrived in history. It had initially arrived on October 22, 1844, for the third woe is the seventh trumpet, and that trumpet began to sound at that time. But as with ancient Israel, modern Israel chose rebellion and brought about a period of wandering in the wilderness instead of finishing the work. The sealing time of the third angel was therefore delayed until it began again on September 11, 2001. For 40 years did unbelief, murmuring, and rebellion shut out ancient Israel from the land of Canaan. The same sins have delayed the entrance of modern Israel into the heavenly Canaan. In neither case were the promises of God at fault. It is the unbelief, the worldliness, unconsecration, and strife among the Lord's professed people that have kept us in this world of sin and sorrow so many years. Selected Messages, Book 2, 69. God does not change, and He judges according to the available light. Modern Israel had more available light than ancient Israel, and we are informed the same sins have delayed the entrance of modern Israel into the heavenly Canaan. If modern Israel was only held accountable to the light which ancient Israel was held accountable to, it would have been enough, but they had more light. Therefore, if it was the same sins that caused ancient Israel to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, then not only was modern Israel banished to the wilderness in the rebellion of 1863, but they were just as certainly destined to die there. Their sins have delayed the work of the third angel until now. Said the angel, "The third angel is binding, or sealing, them in bundles for the heavenly garner." This little company looked careworn, as if they had passed through severe trials and conflicts, and it appeared as if the sun had just risen from behind a cloud and shone upon their countenances, causing them to look triumphant, as if their victories were nearly won. Early Writings, 88. The same sins that banished ancient Israel to die in the wilderness have delayed the work of the third angel who arrived on October 22, 1844. After Jesus opened the door of the Most Holy, the light of the Sabbath was seen, and the people of God were tested, as the children of Israel were tested anciently, to see if they would keep God's law. I saw the third angel pointing upward, showing the disappointed ones the way to the holiest of the heavenly sanctuary. As they by faith enter the Most Holy, they find Jesus, and hope and joy spring up anew. I saw them looking back, reviewing the past, from the proclamation of the second advent of Jesus, down through their experience to the passing of the time in 1844. They see their disappointment explained, and joy and certainty again animate them. The third angel has lighted up the past, the present, and the future, and they know that God has indeed led them by His mysterious providence. Early Writings, 254. The third angel is the sealing angel, and he arrived on October 22, 1844, but his work was delayed by the same sins that caused ancient Israel to die in the wilderness. The delay caused by the rebellion of 1863 was a delaying of the work of the third angel, and therefore the sealing has been hindered and delayed for over 100 years. Numbers 32, verse 6:15, quoted, "The Lord God is a jealous God, yet He bears long with the sins and transgressions of His people in this generation. If the people of God had walked in His counsel, the work of God would have advanced. The messages of truth would have been borne to all people that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Had the people of God believed Him and been doers of His word, had they kept His commandments, the angel would not have come flying through heaven with the message to the four angels that were to let loose the winds that they should blow upon the earth, crying, 'Hold, hold the four winds that they blow not upon the earth until I have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads.' But because the people are disobedient, unthankful, unholy, as were ancient Israel, time is prolonged that all may hear the last message of mercy proclaimed with a loud voice. The Lord's work has been hindered, the sealing time delayed. Many have not heard the truth, but the Lord will give them a chance to hear and be converted, and the great work of God will go forward." Manuscript Releases, Volume 15, 292. On September 11, 2001, the third angel arrived again, and the sealing time, which had been delayed since the rebellion of 1863, began again. It was the arrival of Islam, of the third woe, which is also the seventh trumpet that marks the beginning of the sealing time. The sealing time began with the arrival of the third angel on October 22, 1844, when the seventh trumpet began to sound, but that trumpet was hindered and delayed. "And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth for ever and ever, who created heaven, and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets." Revelation 10:5-7. The voice of the seventh angel is the voice of the angel of Revelation chapter 18, which descended when the great buildings of New York City were thrown down. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Revelation 18:1-3. The voice of the mighty angel who descends commands the angels to hold the four winds that are represented as an angry horse seeking to break loose and bring death and destruction in its path. The angels of God do his bidding, holding back the winds of the earth, that the winds should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree, until the servants of God should be sealed in their foreheads. The mighty angel is seen ascending from the east, or sunrising. This mightiest of angels has in his hand the seal of the living God, or of him who alone can give life, who can inscribe upon the foreheads the mark or inscription, to whom shall be granted immortality, eternal life. It is the voice of this highest angel that had authority to command the four angels to keep in check the four winds until this work was performed, and until he should give the summons to let them loose. Testimonies to Ministers 4:45. The angel who commands the four angels to hold the winds is the angel of Revelation chapter 18, who lightens the earth with his glory, and his strong voice is the voice of the seventh angel. And what a representation is given in Revelation 7 for our consideration and comfort and encouragement. The four angels are commissioned to do a work upon the earth. But one who purchased the world by giving himself for its ransom has a chosen few, who? Those who are keeping all of the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. John's attention was called to another scene, and I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. Revelation 7:2. Who is this? The angel of the covenant. He comes from the sunrising. He is the dayspring from on high. He is the light of the world. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 1:4. This is the one Isaiah describes. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. He cried, as one who had superiority over the hosts of angels in heaven, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Revelation 7:2-3. Here is the divine and human united. The command is given to the four angels to hold in check the four winds until they receive his summons. Read the entire chapter. The cry, Hurt not, is uttered by the Restorer, the Redeemer. Judgment and wrath were to be repressed only for a little space until a certain work was done. The message, the last message of warning and mercy, has been retarded in doing its work by the selfish love of money, the selfish love of ease, and the unfitness of man to do a work that needs to be done. The angel that is to lighten the earth with his glory has waited for human instrumentalities through whom the light of heaven could shine, and they thus cooperate to give, in its sacred, solemn importance, the message which is to decide the destiny of the world. Manuscript Releases, Volume 15, 222. The third angel, who is Christ, is also the sealing angel who arrived on October 22, 1844, but due to the disobedience of God's people, his work of sealing the 144,000 has been delayed until September 11, 2001. Then Islam of the Third Woe brought down the great buildings of New York, and the sealing process began. At that point, the nations became angry, yet held in check. The first voice of Revelation chapter 18 is the voice that commands the four angels to hold while God's people are sealed. Jesus always illustrates the ending with the beginning. And on February 26, 1993, Islam of the Third Woe detonated a truck bomb in the underground parking garage of the North Tower of the World Trade Center. The explosion resulted in significant damage to the building, killing 6 people and injuring over 1,000 others. While the attack did not bring down the towers, it was a significant act of terrorism on U.S. soil and foreshadowed the events of September 11, 2001. The sealing time began on September 11, 2001, but it included a forewarning 8 years before. The Islamic attack on Israel on October 7, 2023, is a forewarning of the ending of the sealing time. The prophetic characteristics of the third woe have been established with the prophetic characteristics of the first two woes. In the opening verses of chapter 9 of Revelation, the sealing of the 144,000 is illustrated. We will consider that subject in the next article. If such scenes as this are to come, such tremendous judgments on a guilty world, where will be the refuge for God's people? How will they be sheltered until the indignation be overpassed? John sees the elements of nature, earthquake, tempest, and political strife, represented as being held by 4 angels. These winds are under control until God gives the word to let them go. There is the safety of God's church. The angels of God do his bidding, holding back the winds of the earth, that the winds should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree, until the servants of God should be sealed in their foreheads. The mighty angel is seen ascending from the east, or sunrising. This mightiest of angels has in his hand the seal of the living God, or of him who alone can give life, who can inscribe upon the foreheads the mark or inscription, to whom shall be granted immortality, eternal life. It is the voice of this highest angel that had authority to command the 4 angels to keep in check the 4 winds, until this work was performed, and until he should give the summons to let them loose. Those that overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil will be the favored ones who shall receive the seal of the living God. Those whose hands are not clean, whose hearts are not pure, will not have the seal of the living God. Those who are planning sin and acting it will be passed by. Only those who, in their attitude before God, are filling the position of those who are repenting and confessing their sins in the great anti-typical Day of Atonement will be recognized and marked as worthy of God's protection. The names of those who are steadfastly looking and waiting and watching for the appearing of their Savior, more earnestly and wishfully than they who wait for the morning, will be numbered with those who are sealed. Those who, while having all the light of truth flashing upon their souls, should have works corresponding to their avowed faith, but are allured by sin, setting up idols in their hearts, corrupting their souls before God, and polluting those who unite with them in sin, will have their names blotted out of the book of life, and be left in midnight darkness, having no oil in their vessels with their lamps. Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. This sealing of the servants of God is the same that was shown to Ezekiel in vision. John also had been a witness of this most startling revelation. He saw the sea and the waves roaring, and men's hearts failing them for fear. He beheld the earth moved, and the mountains carried into the midst of the sea, which is literally taking place, the water thereof roaring and troubled, and the mountains shaking with the swelling thereof. He was shown plagues, pestilence, famine, and death performing their terrible mission. Testimonies to Ministers, 445.